From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Adelaide Byrd, who was the judge who scored it 10 rounds to 2 for Canelo somehow, she is so bad, and this is not the first time.
I got 12 ass-kicking, entertaining rounds out of it. I thought all along if it got to a decision, Canelo was going to win. So the fact that Triple G got out of there with his belts and managed to get a draw out of a decision, I was okay with that result. I'll pay another $80 to watch those two fight again.
Well, that's what's going to end up happening.
And is that a bad thing? Texans are making some news today. Your buddy Jalen Strong out of a job. Every guy that they've traded up to get has been a bust.
The crazy thing about Jalen Strong is, I mean, they're cutting him at a time where they've really got no one at wide receiver. So they're saying, we'd rather have no one than you.
Why would you do that? My suspicion when I heard about it, I bet he's tested positive for something and is about to get popped anyway.
I mean, that's possible. My question is, what are the Texans doing in the interim? I mean, what's the plan at wide receiver right now?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And 936 says, Olympic versus standard plates. The common denominator for Olympic weight plates is the center hole, which is 2 inches in diameter. The bore hole on standard weight plates is 1 inch in diameter.
I guess that would make a difference.
Yeah. Well. This is 832. So now you all are stealing stories from the usual suspects. I hate to break it to you, but we use a lot of the same websites to prep. They're going to do some of the same things we do. Just it's going to happen. We do them for our audience. I don't pay any attention to what they do, and I'm sure they don't pay any attention to what we do. So nobody's stealing stories from each other. By the way, you know who taught half the people in the city how to show prep? Of course they're going to go to those websites and get stories. So quit complaining about it and try to drive safe and not kill anybody in the rain.
So while I was when we were in Vegas, I had dinner with Nick. And he tells me about a time when he got in trouble because Brian Binway, he was producing Brian Binway's show.
Yeah.
And Brian Binway, he said, Brian Binway used to do this segment called Chic Tweets. And I was like, oh, yeah, I heard that he was doing that. And he was like, yeah, I got suspended because I didn't bleep out something properly. It's like, oh, boy. Well, did you know that Chic Tweets, the entire thing should have been bleeped out because that was a stolen bit? Oh, well.
Yeah, but there's a difference between stealing bits and guys talking about the same thing. Because in reality, and that's why I don't listen to shows before ours. Sometimes I'll listen to Barry and Joel, but I don't like hearing them talk about something I was planning to talk about. Because then I either feel like I don't want to talk about the story.
Right.
And I don't want to be influenced by what they think, if that makes any sense. I want my own opinion on it, or I want AJ's opinion on it, and try to make it the best for our audience. And that's kind of the idea. And some things are worth talking about on every show. But
you see, there's another hurricane forming in the Gulf.
I heard about that. They're just gonna hit Puerto Rico.
Maria has hit Category 4.
I'm sick of these damn hurricanes. Let's stop it already.
Yeah, it's very close to like the Dominican. I saw some projections, and a lot of it has it going like up the East Coast, and then there's one track that has it hit New Orleans.
Ugh. I'm not gonna trust that track. Now, most of the stuff I've seen about that one is supposed to go.
It has it hitting New Orleans?
One does.
Like, you know, I feel like, you know where I'm going to be on Friday, right?
Are you going to New Orleans?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's nice knowing you.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Real thoughts and prayers, not Twitter thoughts and prayers.
Yes.
Great.
You'll be all right. I'm pretty good at the storm prediction thing. I'm going to go with you're going to be
gonna say
fine.
I'm safe?
You're safe.
All right. What if I'm in the middle of drinking some really good beer and they tell us to evacuate? Hang in there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're safe. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I'm taking your word for it.
You know, in fact, you should go down to that area where it flooded really bad before and just hang out down there because there's no way it'll happen again, right?
True. It was a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
And don't take your car down there or anything. Just you have to worry about it. You won't get stranded, really.
Yeah.
Oh, man, let's talk some college football because we haven't had a chance to get to too much of this. And some really interesting stuff over the weekend. For what, there wasn't a lot of sexy matchups going in.
Well, Clemson-Louisville.
Clemson-Louisville was probably the sexiest. And it turned out USC-Texas was pretty sexy. But we'll just kind of go through the top 25 here and then focus a little bit on the Texas game and some of the other ones. But Alabama 41-23 over Colorado State. They're just in cruise control mode right now.
Yeah.
Mississippi State puts it on LSU.
Man, not even a matchup. I mean, they destroyed that team, and LSU's offense was just so horrible.
Yeah, Danny Etling struggled big time, and Nick Fitzgerald's a good quarterback. I think people forgot Dan Mullen can coach, and I would be a little concerned if I'm LSU because that's the first time their defense has really just been shoved all over the place, too, as the game went on. And that offense, I mean, 7 points.
Not good.
No.
Not good. That's the first real sign. And I think LSU fan was starting to get pretty comfortable with Ed Orgeron and like they started to feel good about things. And that's like a...
You can't feel good about that
one.
No. Memphis, 48-45 over UCLA. Hell of a quarterback matchup here. Josh Rosen threw for 463. Riley Ferguson's a guy I like a lot. He had 6 touchdown passes and just an absolute shootout. And UCLA almost came back again, but good win for Memphis.
I don't know what UCLA is. They are such a roller coaster. And you know, for the head coach there to be basically crapping on Josh Rosen after the game is very odd to me. Because let me tell you,
Josh Rosen's fault that they lost that game.
Yeah, let me tell you what your team is without Josh Rosen. They're not even getting talked about this year, and you're getting fired.
Yeah. Oklahoma started off a little slow against Tulane and then took care of business. Pretty easy win, 56-14. Penn State continues to roll. They beat Georgia State 56-0.
That's a solid win.
Yeah, I mean, they're supposed to win that game. Michigan's got some problems on offense.
Michigan's not very good on offense.
They beat Air Force 29-13. They had to get a bunch of field goals. And they've got to get that straightened out because defensively they're very good. But before you start playing Penn State or Ohio State, they better get that worked out.
And let me go ahead and mark down Air Force +3 against San Diego State as probably one of my top plays this coming week.
Cool.
Trying to get back from that 2015 Mountain West Conference Championship loss. And I think Air Force is pretty good. I mean, I think while Michigan's offense isn't great, the fact that Air Force held that team to what they did is pretty impressive.
And I will check injuries first because whenever a team like Air Force plays Michigan or a big team like that, you tend to see some injuries the next week. But other than that, I'm kind of with you on it. Ohio State beats Army 38-7. And, they looked okay.
Yeah. Took them a little while to get kicking, but they're going to be all right.
Okie State, we talked about a little bit in the last hour. They put it on Pittsburgh 59-21. Mason Rudolph. Again, looks sharp. Man, I've got to be all over this over 67 in Oklahoma State TCU.
Yeah, that's a low number. I'm surprised at that. I would expect a shootout, but I think it's a good game.
But Oklahoma State's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
They really are. Number 10, Wisconsin beats BYU 40-6. Man, BYU is gone downhill in a hurry. And I knew their offense was bad, but They're just bad on both sides of the ball right now. This is not what I'm used to seeing out of BYU. They're at least competitive with these kind of teams for a half. They weren't competitive at all here.
Got blown out.
Georgia beats Samford. It's just a...
supposed to happen.
Yeah. Auburn beats Mercer. You'd like to score...
not impressive.
You'd like to score more than 24 points against Mercer.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech over East Carolina, 64-17. Early on, East Carolina was keeping it close, and then Virginia Tech said, nah, we got this. This is the worst East Carolina team I've seen in years. We hit on this one a little bit. Vanderbilt, 18, Kansas State, 7. Vandy played terrific defense in this game. First win over a ranked non-conference opponent since...
I mean,
think it's been like 50-something years.
1946.
Right? Yeah, that's a long time, man. I was around 72 years.
I'm an old man. I remember that.
Like I said, Vanderbilt on one side of the ball is very good. On offense, they are atrocious. We'll see what. And Vanderbilt to start off 3-0 is big for them.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, throwing in that Kansas State win, that's a good, you know, a good
win.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's not a win. That's not a win you would have given them.
But we'll find out what they really are this week. And, you know, Alabama's, my guess is Alabama hands it to them. But that program should have some confidence and should be excited right now.
Man, the weather must be bad here. We've lost DirecTV.
Oh, no. Look outside.
I don't get to watch Jamel Hill. Washington State. 52, Oregon State 23, Luke Falk 6 touchdown passes. I think you were on Washington State minus 8.5 there.
I was going to be. I didn't play it because I didn't get the right number at the book. I ended up not touching it. But yeah, that's not a big surprise to me.
And we talked about TCU 56-36 over SMU and how much we're looking forward to that TCU Okie State game.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun. TCU let SMU hang around for a while. And then eventually just sort of pulled away from them at the end.
The thing is, SMU played really well in that game and still got beat by 20.
Yeah, TCU's that good.
So
we didn't talk about the TCU or the USC Texas game.
No, I was saving that. So we could spend a little more time on it.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted you to dive in. We'll do that next segment. And I want to hit on UH a little bit. And I think those are the ones of interest. So,
all right. You know what I'm interested in? Carboctoberfest. That's right. It's happening. Carboctoberfest. Listen, I'm happy to have Carbuck on board. We love those guys over there, and Eric's been coming by once every other week and bringing us some good brew. If you haven't been by the restaurant, you need to stop by that. Our show's going to be doing some beer dinners out there. It's going to be some good times. But right now, it's Carboctoberfest, September 15th through October 7th. They're going that long. They've got performances by Bun B, the Bright Light Social Hour, the Tauntauns, Flow Tribe, and more. Admissions to the show, free, which means you've got money to spend on beer. It's a great thing. It's Carboctoberfest at Carbock Brewing Company. For more info and the full lineup, go to carbockbrewing.com. And then whenever you're out and about this week or you stop by the bar, stop by the grocery store, just pick up your favorite mainstay or seasonal or just tell the bartender, hey, please make it a Carbock. That's Carbock Brewing.
Every single day.
Your airtime.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, did you have damage in your home from the hurricane? It can be frustrating and stressful, but guess what? Castlope can help. Castlope is Houston strong. Castlope is a Houston-based company with a focus to save as many homes as possible. And they'll provide professional residential and commercial water damage mitigation, dehumidification, restoration. They'll demo and remove all construction materials affected by water damage. And they care about the community and want to help. Whether you've got insurance or you don't have insurance, Castlope will work with you. And Houston-based right here, you want to do business with Houston guys. There's a lot of people coming from out of town and trying to do business down here. Well, do business with someone who's right here in Houston. Save your house today and call Castlope. That's Castlop. That's Castlop. Find out more at castlope.com.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Let's talk USC, Texas. Your thoughts, sir?
My thoughts are Texas's offense is a disaster, and they're probably missing Greg Davis these days. But as a team overall, they're starting to put it together a little bit. I think their offensive coordinator, some of the play calls, the lack of running the football, was just crazy to me. I didn't get it, but the fact that they were in that game tells you something. And I've heard a lot of people ask, well, is USC overrated or is Texas, you know, actually coming? Or are they actually getting there? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. USC may be overrated, but we've seen USC put on some pretty good shows, and they didn't put one on yesterday or Saturday against Texas. So I'm not exactly sure what the full takeaway is, but they are, they're clearly, as far as 1 and 2 teams go, you could do worse. I mean, I feel like they're starting to get it together. I think maybe they've got the right guy at quarterback now. They've just got to find a way to work in those running backs who I thought were so good last week, and they just didn't use them.
I think USC is not overrated. I'll start with that. I think part of the problem with USC right now is Sam Darnold continues to throw too many interceptions. That's 6 in 3 games. He had 9 all of last year.
Yeah.
So I think that he's got to clean that up a little bit. But I've seen enough Tom Herman teams when they go in against a heavily favored team where they're ready to play. I'm not at all shocked that they almost beat him. He gets teams ready for games like this.
For big games.
It's going to be the Maryland's and the Iowa States that you have to worry about. But they'll be competitive in these games. And defensively, they're getting there. I think they made some great adjustments from week one. And I just think he doesn't have quite what they need on offense yet to win a game like this. But, man, they played well.
What about your Cougs? How did you feel about their outcome?
I felt very good about their game, and I was only able to watch it on my computer while I was watching the fights. But I thought they did exactly what they do when they're playing well, which is just run it up in the first half, damn near flawless on offense, and then sit on the lead. And that's what I wanted to see. Don't show too much because you got a tougher opponent coming in next week. And when the game was... Well, I won't say it was ever in doubt, but when the game was supposed to be competitive, they took care of business.
Yeah. A lot more people. I actually went to the game. A lot more people than I had imagined.
How many Owls came?
One tiny little section and their marching band. But we were walking after the game, and someone came by and was like, "You know, you guys need to, you know, let it up a little bit. He's like, you don't need to do that to us." I'm like, "Oh, you know, whatever. You know, this is a." This is how it should be. You know, U of H should be doing that every year to the Rice Owls. And we barely paid attention to the game in the second half. We were drinking a lot. And we were...
Well, that's how it's supposed to be.
Yes.
The second half of the game is supposed to be...
Against Rice, it should be. Anyway.
Yeah. And I've always said this. If UH loses to Rice in football...
It's a bad year.
It's a very bad year. And it always is.
And it makes
no offense to Rice, but you're not supposed to be in the same ballpark.
It makes me feel a lot better this week after that game against Arizona. You know, it's a Pac-12 school, a Power 5 school, and they had to go there, and it was after the hurricane. But the offense looked, like you were saying, the offense looked a lot more crisp. And I expect the shootout and the ticket prices for that game. It's 11 o'clock kick, and the ticket prices for that thing is double what it was for Rice.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
dynamic pricing?
A little bit.
But that's because Tech travels well.
Yeah.
And they don't get a lot of chances to play in Houston. There's a lot of Tech alumni here, so they're going to sell a bunch of tickets. And then I think UH fans get really excited about games like this. The last time Tech played here, when Case Keenum, it was nuts.
And I think you can't even buy the tickets on UHCougs.com because I think they're all sold out. So you have to go to like StubHub or any secondary market to buy the tickets.
I talked about how efficient the offense was. About 31 of 33 for Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
That's solid. You'll take that.
Meanwhile, how's the quarterback at A&M look?
Crickets.
Which one?
Yeah, whichever one. Crickets. I think Huvinek got hurt. I think that's that Mond had to play this week. He looked so horrible in the first half. Kind of picked it up a little bit, but...
Yeah, and basically, if you just let him run the football,
that's all you can do. Though
you can't let him throw it.
That's the same with that quarterback, that Ertz kid from Kansas State. They should just never let him throw the ball. Just take the snap and then run. Hmm. Don't hand it off to a running back. Just be. It's like Tim Tebow was. Just go.
You know, you talked about this the other day because you know the guy real well. But 281 says you guys and Sean Adams are the only sports radio guys I like and listen to. Can't believe what happened. Have you mentioned him on the show? You mentioned him the other day. Did we ever get any more details on what happened?
I haven't gotten any more details about it. I mean, I knew it was a heart attack. It's a bit of a bummer. I mean, I say a bit of a bummer. It's a real bummer. That's a good dude, a really smart guy. And I'll tell you this: I don't mean to crap on anyone necessarily, so I won't name names, but there's a lot of people in our business who are fake smart and who they read everything and then they repeat it
and regurgitate
and not just about sports, which that's common in our business for guys not to be able to form their own opinion, so they just go scalp someone else's. But just about life in general, Sean always said, he always said things that made me think, and I felt like he was a really good dude and a really smart guy. And he will be missed. That was a, anybody who dies that young, it's a wake up call, you know, if you're, because that dude lived his life right. And still had a heart attack.
He was in really good shape.
Really good shape.
Yeah.
Means I'm pretty much sure to die soon.
Yeah, how does a guy like that go and here I am still kicking?
Yeah,
it makes no sense. It makes no sense. But, yeah, it's very sad. I think, yeah, and I'm kind of getting at that age where I'm having a couple die a year on me now.
Yeah.
And that are usually around my age and people I knew really well. And it sucks. I mean, we know it's coming for all of us. I just want it to be, you know, you want everybody to get in all the years they should get.
For sure.
And I think if it's 75 or 80, you've probably lived a good life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my goal now is I want to make it to 75. But as long as I'm not crapping myself and stuff, I don't want to live
right,
like
that.
You
don't want to be that guy.
No, no. But, man, that's way too young. And it's just... just sad. 713-780-ESPN. Carlos asked, have you seen the new It movie? It's really good. My daughter was excited about it. She texted me that she went this weekend and she wants to see it again. So I'll probably take her to see it.
I want to go see it.
Yeah. But I like the first one. But from
I didn't like the first one that much.
From what I understand, though, this one's really well done.
I've heard it's much better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's on my list of things to do.
The sequel is already in the works. And I think the rumors are they're going to get Jessica Chastain to be the lead.
Okay.
Because it's supposed to be 27 years after. So
yeah, so I saw Stephen King tweet. If you're curious about It too, there's a book. How about you go check it out?
He's pretty funny on Twitter.
Yeah.
I follow him. He gets a little political sometimes, but... He's got a great sense
what,
of humor.
What, politics on Twitter? What?
Sorry.
Who would have thought?
I had the numbers. We talked about it on Comicast last week, but I had the numbers. It's the it had the smallest budget of any movie that grossed over $100 million. So I think the budget was like a little under $30 million, and it grossed over $100 million over the first weekend. So it opened up making $100 million, and I think it was something like... I think it's the highest Tuesday movie. Like this past last Tuesday, it grossed the most out of any other Tuesday in history. So this the movie is slowly making a lot of money.
Good for them.
I mean, it opened making a lot of money.
It's got a lot of buzz to it, so it's not surprising.
So hey, I just got a message from someone at UH that says that their tickets still remain. If you go to uhcougars.com/tickets.
Oh, I went there.
Well, you might want to try again. Because their ticket office guy was listening and has corrected us. So thanks for letting us know, guys. Appreciate that. I like being corrected when we're wrong. Well, John was wrong because he's
winning. Yeah. We're never wrong.
Yeah. Sometimes we're... Well, no, we're never wrong about anything because the reality is if we're wrong about a team, they didn't play up to their expectations. That wasn't on us.
All right.
That was on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on here, and the first game that pop up is UConn. And if I click the single game tickets, it's SMU, Memphis, ECU, and Navy. So I don't see Texas Tech on here.
All right. Well, I'm just passing on what they told me. Maybe I'll try on the break, see if it's just you. Maybe it's your browser. Maybe get that Pornhub off of there.
Oh, there's a... Well, I mean, I'm using the... This company computer might be dirtier than my actual computer, but the only way that I could find to get these tickets are to pick four home games, to pick a mini plan.
Oh, that's okay. Pick a mini plan then.
Yeah, we'll see. I gotta go through and
you're
see.
You're going to go to four games.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the mini plan.
Man, we sat in the upper deck of Tadeku.
Yeah.
And pretty good view, actually. We're sitting in the 300s.
Yeah, there's not a bad view in that stadium.
No. Good stadium.
So, yeah, I'm looking at the mini plan here. And Texas Tech is on there. So you can pick four home games. The other ones to choose from Three of them are really good. SMU, Memphis, and Navy. If you get a 4-game packet for that, take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
ECU, unless you just want to see him crush somebody.
Yeah.
That'd be the only reason
that's
to get
a bad
that
team.
One. Yeah, but that's a pretty good deal. So, I guess I better click on this and make sure it actually works. I'm going to click on those 4 games. We're just doing a little experiment here. And let's see. Best available. Oh, I must purchase at least one ticket. Yeah, it works. So.
Can we hit on something else from this Canelo fight on the other side?
Absolutely. You can do whatever you want on the other side.
All right. I've got some something I read that is rubbing me the wrong way. Maybe you'll take it differently than what I am.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN. Nice and fun.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Be careful getting home out there, guys. This rain is not pleasant. So,
Fred, you know, after the Canelo-Golovkin fight, it felt like there was going to be a rematch. And, you know, we're just going to see this thing again and hopefully get a real result this time.
Yeah.
Golovkin was obviously, he wants a rematch because it's his big chance. He said, this was the big drama show. Of course I want the rematch. Look, I still have all the belts. I'm still the champion. Canelo, on the other hand, didn't demand a rematch, even though he's the one who has the clause in his contract to ask for one. He said, if the fans want to see it again, why not? And then Oscar De La Hoya initially said that Alvarez would exercise a rematch clause, but then later clarified that Team Alvarez would take some time to ponder their options before a decision is made. When you think about it, I mean, by the time they fight again, Golovkin would be 36 years old. Canelo would be 27. But Canelo is still convinced that he won the fight. He says it's the Canelo era. He said that he feels he won the fight hands down. He says, I'm going to return home, relax, and take some time before I make a decision. Right now, I'm just going to take some time off. We'll sit down with our team and decide what's next. I just want to enjoy this. Is he out of his mind?
Well, AJ, he did get punched in the face for 12 rounds. He might be a little concussed here.
I always wonder if you lose a close decision, does it get, or if there's a close decision, period, do you go back and watch that fight? And none of my fights ever went to decision. I never had.
Yeah, you didn't have to.
I always wonder if it's a close decision and you win or you lose. Do you want to, if it's controversial in any way? I feel like I would want to go back and see how close it really was, because I think most guys, if there's a close fight, most guys always believe they're winning that fight.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I would expect you to believe you won the fight. I remember the first Ward Kovalev. They both thought they won the fight.
Of course.
And
you could make an argument for both of them.
You could. You certainly could. And in this case, I think you can make an argument. Well, to me, it was either Golovkin or a draw. I think those are the arguments you can make. But there are people who make compelling arguments for Canelo as well. I don't know where you get the idea that you won the fight hands down unless you're just listening to that one judge who basically just got thrown under the bus.
Like if you think Adelaide Bird is speaking gospel.
Yeah, which.
I'd be careful with that. But yeah, I find that interesting that now he's doing the thing where, you know, and you remember 2 years ago when they were supposed to fight, he was like, oh, I'll fight him, and then he didn't fight him.
Yeah.
You know? And then when the time came, he just preferred to drop his belt.
But I have no problem with them stepping back a little bit and before they make a decision. I don't think you make a snap decision. Take a look at the pay-per-view numbers and see how good they are. Because that's the bottom line. That's what Oscar's going to do. It's like, hey, can we make this kind of bank again? And I'm curious what the buys were. Because I think that'll affect them.
Well, either way, do you think you'll get more or less buys for a second fight now?
I think you get more.
I think you do, too.
I think people...
Which is crazy to me, but yeah, I think you do.
So in that, from a business perspective, it was a perfect result. Because this time we're going to settle it. And then people are going to hear what a great fight it was. And if they were on the fence before, I think they'll buy it this time.
Yep.
Hey, just on the ticket thing, I went through and did that plan. So you just go to the mini plan and you get Tech, Memphis, ECU, and Navy. It's only $120 for those four games.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty reasonable. And that's four good football games. So, yeah, uhcougars.com/tickets. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I read Canelo's comments after the fight, and I kind of thought, man, he really does believe he won the fight handily. I don't think he's just talking. I really think he believes he won, but he's in there, and you know how it is in the ring. You're probably thinking you're winning the whole time. Well, I think your first two fights, you were pretty much winning the whole way.
Yeah, and my last one. In the other fight, I was pretty sure I didn't win
because
I was almost dead.
Yeah.
Not really, but yeah. I don't know. I guess, like I said, if you're in a close fight, if you're a fighter, you probably feel like you're winning. But if he goes back and watches that, I don't think there's any way he can go, yeah, I got this. That was me all the way.
Well, he was talking like he won.
Oh, yeah.
it was a draw. You didn't get those belts. But, hey, both guys fought their ass off, man. And I said this at the top of the show when we were talking about it. I got my $80 worth. I got a great fight. Would I have liked to have seen a different result? Yeah, but I'm really okay with how it ended because in a perfect world, yeah, I thought Golovkin won. But I think it was close. And with the draw, he keeps his belts. You get a chance at a rematch here. I'm okay with it. And at the time, I was like everybody else. I didn't like the draw. But the more I thought about it the next morning, I'm like, you know what? I'm okay. 4-9 says, I'm just an average boxing fan. I didn't order the first fight, but I definitely order the rematch.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they've built some interest with this ridiculous judging.
Yeah. All right. Well, man. I think Texas Tech is going to give UH a pretty good game.
You think so?
Yeah. They beat Arizona State last week.
That ain't saying a whole lot.
No, Arizona State's not that great, but
I mean they're better than Arizona, but they're
and Eastern Washington they kind of hammered, and Eastern Washington's not as good as they've been in the past, but for an FCS school they're pretty good.
Yeah.
I still want to call it 1AA. After all these years. Dude, that Golovkin hat is sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, that worked. Well, I'm not really.
Barry Laminick tried to hate on me for it.
I'm not really jealous because it wouldn't look good on me. Because that kind of hat doesn't look good on me. But it works for you.
What do you think, Joe?
It's a little flashy, but I like it.
Okay.
Yes, that's what there's two.
Because it's got gold threads.
Yeah. It kind of. I know Mayweather is just black and white, but.
Max. He's a champion. Of course it's gold.
If Mayweather would kind of go off of the black and white, I think he would go for like a gold thread kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like the green and green, yellow, and I guess the green, gold, and black look.
Thank you, John.
Lamont asking, how would you rank all of your Vegas trips, your top three? I would have to think Guns N' Roses is top three. That was the best one ever, I think.
God, I don't even remember all of them to rank them, but yeah. That one was really good.
That one was... I'm number two.
Threads are like the you can count the last two or the two worst ones were the ones where his wallet got stolen, and then everything else is a tie, and then Guns N' Roses number one.
No, Guns N' Roses won. My second trip out there for a handicapping championship, a horse handicapping championship, where I cashed and on the side hit like an $11,000 trifecta and just partied like an idiot for 2 days with a bunch of my drunk friends. That one's up there because there's nothing like having a nice stack of about 15 grand in your pocket in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
You can get in all kinds of trouble with that. But those are the only two that, well, actually, when I went for the World Series for the first time, because even after I busted out, I made so much money on the side tournaments, and I feel like I became a better player then.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's talk to my man, Aubrey Theodi. What's your best Vegas memory, Aubrey?
Man, I'm just trying to think when y'all were talking about it, but it definitely would have been one of the fights I went to when I was real young, you know, so I don't remember. Let's see, was it Hearns Leonard? Yeah, probably Hearns Leonard. That was in Vegas, right? Hearns Leonard. That was. It's hard to remember all these good times.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to be a fight fan so dramatic. I mean, I wouldn't miss a round. I wouldn't miss a minute now. Life gets so busy, it's amazing how those passions change up. And, you know, sometimes your work becomes your passion, too. And that is one of the things that I'm passionate about every single hour of the day, and it never fades away. When you pick up the phone, dial 281-DIRT-FREE, we're very passionate about coming with the best technology, the best pre-treatment, chem-free, the best wand that's ever been created. We made that, has a temperature readout on the side of the wand so we can know the fluid going through to the carpet surface. The giant van-powered machines, this lack of soap chemical residue that keeps carpet cleaner. Pick up the phone, 281-DIRT-FREE, attachment stew, carpet, tile, grout, leather, drapes, upholstery, your air duct system, suck that out to the truck with this system. Even carpet repairs, if you dial 281-DIRT-FREE, we'll do 3 rooms of carpet cleaning for $100. Give you $100 free speed dry, and guys, you've seen it work in your home, and so many of the listeners have seen it work. We start in a worse spot. If you don't love it, you don't pay.
All right. That's Aubrey Theodi with DIRT-FREE, 281-DIRT-FREE. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Hey, guys. There's a game tonight. You want to get in on the action, you know where to go. MyBookie.ag, an industry-leading website and the best place for you to cash in on all the exciting sports action. In-game live betting, so if you miss the start of the game tonight, you can jump right in. And a user-friendly mobile site, so you'll never miss a play. Join now, and MyBookie.ag will match your deposit with a bonus up to 100%. So, first-time depositor, up to 100%, you could start winning big today. And if you're sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a withdrawal, that's where MyBookie.ag comes in. Decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, no fine print. You'll experience the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. Give them a call right now, 844-900-BETS, or visit MyBookie.ag to open an account. They also have a great race book, so if you're like me and you like to play the ponies too, they got you covered. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at MyBookie.ag. Sign up today.
If you take a step towards me, you will take my breath away. So I'll keep you close and keep my secret safe.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. This is the last segment?
Is it?
I just noticed that. Jeez, yeah. This went by fast. Oh, there's a lot to talk about.
Apparently, parts of town, there's flood warnings around.
Oh,
no. Town.
Oh, boy.
Great. Be careful out there, guys.
I think the west side near the attics is got a lot of rain again.
Well, wow. It's not shocking.
No, that's not an area that needed any rain.
Well, the whole town didn't need any rain.
No, none of us need any rain right now. But turn around, don't drown, guys. We don't want to lose any blitzers.
And I just licked the microphone.
Gross.
Now, so if I get sick.
You've essentially kissed Nick Sciarra.
And Dell. And whoever else is on the board.
So you just
Tyler,
you just threesomed with it, foursomed,
Cameron, Jose, so everybody.
No chicks though, right?
No.
Good.
Yeah, Teresa won't get jealous then.
So if I get sick tomorrow, then you know why.
Yeah. All right. Well, you ready to do that thing we do on Mondays?
Let's do the dumbass report.
A trio of young men who really, really, really wanted the new Grand Theft Auto game, they decided that they would pose as cops to cut in front of hundreds of people on the midnight line.
It's not a terrible plan.
One is an auxiliary NYPD officer. Another one is the son of a retired officer. And they even drove off in a car with lights and sirens. The whole deal. But unfortunately, they drove off right there in front of actual real cops.
Oh, boy.
Police identified the suspects as I'm not even going to know their names. Two 19-year-olds and a 20-year-old. One of them had his father's NYPD shield tattooed on his arm. One was carrying a fake badge in his wallet. And one had his auxiliary badge and ID.
The group
rode up to the mall before midnight in a car that had been purchased at a police auction. And after dropping two friends at the back of the long line gathered outside the mall, they pulled around to the front. Authorities did not provide the make of the car on Tuesday, though court papers refer to it as an exact replica of an unmarked police vehicle. At first, they were simply mistaken for police. A mall guard offered them coffee, and a GameStop manager thanked them for providing additional security. They sort of rode the ruse. They didn't correct the record. They went along with it. One of them flashed a badge to get inside the mall building, and they went ahead and bought the game early. Fell apart when they left the mall. They got into the car and pulled a U-turn in front of a real cop in an unmarked car, and the cop followed them and, of course, busted them.
Dumbass!
Yeah, not wise guys.
So impersonating an officer, that's a fairly serious offense.
Yeah.
For Grand Theft Auto.
Not
did good. They write off saying GTA mother...
No, I don't think he did that, but I might be wrong.
Wow. That was kind of a smart plan.
Except gone awry.
Except he broke the law.
Let's go along with this GTA sort of theme where Pavel Zatowski has been jailed. He was riding on a motorcycle, and he is going 117 miles an hour. He was rummaging through his backpack. While going 117 miles an hour.
I don't know if anybody has the balls to do that.
No. He was doing wheelies. He was standing up and with his arms out like Jesus on the cross, going 117 miles an hour.
Death wish.
And he was taking selfies. Of course, eventually.
Though texting his girlfriend in there, and I think you've got it all.
Unbelievably, he didn't die. This was in court after getting pulled over. I thought he was going to die, but yeah. This is not the case. But he did get a 28-month ban from driving. And finally, Youngstown, Ohio. An Ohio man has been charged after his six-year-old daughter, or he's been charged with chasing his six-year-old daughter around the neighborhood while wearing a clown mask. And another man is charged for firing a gun. Police say the girl first jumped into a stranger's car and then ran into a stranger's apartment while screaming that a clown was chasing her. Police say a man in the apartment building came outside and fired a gunshot into the ground. The father told police he chased his daughter to discipline her for behavioral issues instead of spanking her. He's been charged with child endangerment and inducing panic. Police say the man who fired the gunshot has been charged with using weapons while intoxicated. You can't chase around your kids wearing a mask anymore?
No, that's just...
What America is this?
Wow, that's like... Both those stories are great. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Great job today, Jong Lee. Great job, AJ Hoffman. I did okay. We'll do it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.